Good morning, and welcome into a game day, maybe, edition of the Blitz. Charlie Collier, Josh Stackhouse, here with you for the next couple hours as we get into everything that's floating around in the sports world. Again, it is a Tennessee game day. I don't know how confident we are that that's happening, or if it does happen, that it even starts before midnight to be able to call this a game day. I guess I could see the Vols playing at like 1 a.m. if.
Yeah, I was surprised they just get
some sort of break from the weather, but it's a game day. I also doubt it's a game day, as we're already in a weather delay in Hoover, and the games have not started yet. So, that's where we're at, waiting on Auburn and Kentucky. First pitch TBD. But Stackhouse, how you doing this morning on this fine Wednesday?
You know, I'm actually pretty darn good. Living the dream, you know. Woke up this morning, felt good, took a shower, took my dog out. She found her special place to poop. She's like the most difficult dog in the world to go poop in the morning with. She'll like stop on the sidewalk and just stare at you and just pull back. She's a little pit bull, so she's got that muscle in her. So she'll pull me backwards. I'm like, no. So I have to drag her to some grass. And now she's using a neighbor's flower bed. So I have to,
ideal.
I have to pick it up. Ideal, right?
It's ideal.
Right? The roses and everything. But yeah, no, I'm having a pretty good morning, man. Last night, yesterday was good. I don't even remember what I did. I think I went grocery shopping. Got some bratwurst.
Did you get anything good? Some bratwurst?
Yeah, dude, I cooked me up 2 bratwursts actually yesterday.
Did you get like the peppers and onions going too?
Yes, yeah. I air fried these. I wanted to try that out just to
see.
You
air fried the bratwurst or the peppers and onions?
Yeah, both. All of it.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually pretty simplistic. I didn't think it would work that way.
I didn't think it would either. You think it lose some of like its juiciness?
Yes, bro. You know how you put them on the grill and they kind of crack open sometimes? No cracks. It's pretty aesthetically pleasing, I'm not going to lie. I cooked it really well. And then the peppers and onions, put a little olive oil in there, season them up.
That sounds
really
good.
5 minutes.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, dude, insane. I couldn't believe it. Air fryers are sick.
I'm thinking about investing in an air fryer.
Dude.
So I own one, but it's not a good one.
Is it small?
Like, it's one that I think my grandmother
I get you.
Like, got from someone and didn't really want and just kind of gave to me, like, a cheaper one. So I got some pork tenderloin center cut chops.
I love pork chops. I was actually just about to get some yesterday too.
and I was going to air fry them. And I went to get this air fryer out, and I'd used it a couple times, like heating food up or something. And I think my roommates used it a couple times, but I don't know how recently it's been used. I realized you can't even set the temperature.
Oh, wow.
There's just a temperature, and I'm not sure what the temperature was. Also, I guess my roommate had used it prior and did not clean it. So it was nasty in there. So I pivoted and I roasted him.
It's smart, yeah.
I also have no idea how long you're supposed to cook pork chops.
I don't
eat. I put them in there because pork I can never figure out. I'm always scared when I eat pork that I'm going to poison myself.
Yeah, because it doesn't have that same like red center that you can tell with a steak, right? Yeah, I get you. Actually,
but
that's a good question.
I put it in on 400 for 14 minutes and then broiled it for 2 more, and I ate it. And I'm not sick. So
was it good?
I guess that worked.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Cut simplistic.
I put some brown sugar, onion powder, garlic powder, paprika, a dash of oregano.
Ooh, yes, sir.
I'm trying to remember what else I put on there. Salt, pepper.
What side do you have with it?
So I put it on some grits.
Oh, my mans.
And some potatoes.
Hey, my mans.
I had a nice little feast for lunch yesterday.
Yesterday,
I actually got to make lunch instead of just throw together a sandwich as I'm trying to get to my other job.
Yeah.
I actually have to sit there and make lunch.
Through.
It was kind of nice. And then
Man, you had them denture sides, didn't you? Mashed potatoes and grits.
No, not mashed, just potatoes.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I was about to say, you had little,
one of them, those steamable packets, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were good, too.
Dude, man, those steamable packets be slapping.
Low-key, like, very good.
All frozen vegetables. I really only get frozen vegetables now, because I just heard that they don't lose any nutrients or anything like that.
They don't?
So
oh, that's good to know.
And most of the time, they're, yeah, because you freeze them right when you pluck them, so usually they're more fresh than, like, even the fresh vegetables in
the
store.
I like the steamable ones, too. I think they do. They're good.
Oh, God. I smash on some Brussels sprouts and.
But then last night went to this comedy show.
Oh, you ended up going to that?
Yeah, me and a couple of my friends. We came across a flyer for some new comics trying new material, whatever. Stand up open mic night at some super random bar.
Oh yeah, where was it?
No, free milk on the radio.
That's a good call.
But it was, I'll tell you this, it was a random bar, and it was a random vibe in there, for sure. Not a very friendly bartender. That was kind of disappointing.
Really? Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I didn't like his vibe at all. But we go to this comedy show, and again, we have no idea what to expect at all. Like, we just, me and three of my friends show up, and the people at this comedy show, for the most part, were much different than me and my two friends.
Like humor wise?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a different type of people, you know?
I get you.
No problem with that, obviously. I love everyone, but some of the comics catered like to that group, and that was what their humor was based around. And you know, some of it was still pretty funny, and some of it like I didn't really connect with. But there were like three comedians who like my favorite comedians are like your Tom Segura's and your Daniel Tosh's, your Hannibal Buress, like John Mulaney. Like, I like when things are a little bit vulgar, when things hit you a little bit, you know, slap you in the face a little bit. Like, oh, did he really just say that?
I
also like other humor. Like, I really like Nate Bargatze, and he doesn't cuss or really tell much vulgar stories at all. Like, he's probably in my top three, but I have like a pretty vulgar sense of humor, I guess. Like, I
100%.
I like things. I like when people are mean. I like when it's aggressive. Like I enjoy
poke fun at something.
Like if you want to make fun of me, go ahead. As long as it's funny.
Yes. If I ain't laughing, then it's just
So
it's just hurtful.
There were a couple comedians that had similar styles to that, and for the most part, the room was not feeling it.
You're just the only one in the corner cackling.
And my two friends, we were sitting like second row of these tables. We're laughing our asses off, especially at this one guy. I mean, I was uncontrollably laughing while at the same time a couple people were booing both him and me for uncontrollably laughing.
Oh,
and like I could not stop laughing. I accidentally knocked a candle off the table too because when I was laughing, caught it with the bow. It was, you know, big man, small table, broke this candle too. And then people were like pretty mad. Like someone's like, "Oh, you must be too drunk." Laughing like that at those jokes and then breaking a candle. I'm just like, "No, I'm just
this is what makes me laugh. These are things that make me laugh."
And like I was laughing at other things too. Like I was laughing at pretty much everyone whether they were good or not. But that guy, there was one guy in particular I was rolling.
That's good though cuz
but
like,
then I was talking to him at the bar after and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I stood up there and I realized it wasn't going to go as well, but I appreciated you." And then he gave me a flyer. He's like, "I'm putting on this comedy show, though. And
oh, good.
Some people that you like from here that will be at this one. I'll be hosting it, and you know, you should come to this." So I'm going to go to that.
That's cool.
Sick. I think I'm just going to start going to
underground comedy things.
Comedy all over Knoxville. I'm going to find all of it.
There's a decent bit of things. Around here, actually, because there's like, there's tiny underground little bars and like little stages and stuff too that you just don't really know about. That's pretty sick, though. I'm glad you at least there's one dude that you like loved, because like going to a run of the mill, I guess, just comedy thing, you're not really expecting somebody to like really knock you out with laughter.
No, like I would pay money to watch a 60-minute special of this one specific guy.
That's good,
but there were probably like 5, 6, 7 other guys that were really guys and girls that were all really funny. And I would say there were only 2, maybe 3 people where I was like, "Yeah, no, this isn't it."
Really?
And one guy, it was his first one ever. I think another guy was like his second one.
That's cool. Shoot. I've thought about doing stand-up comedy before.
We decided to spin a wheel last night, actually, the three of us.
God, you're such a
and it had six options. It was like three nobodies and then our three names, and we had to spin a wheel, and whoever it landed on had to sign up for the next one.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
So it landed on me. I don't know if they're going to hold me to it. I don't know if I'll still sign up for it.
I'll help you out.
If so, I might have to do a stand-up bit
in
a month. I don't know how that would go.
I did that some in high school and stuff, but then, I don't know. Everybody always told me I should do it, but then I just like, nah.
I had an acting teacher told me I could be a stand-up comedian.
It's not bad. I did theater.
I had another acting teacher told me I should never act
again. Theater?
Yeah, I was a theater minor.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, that's cool.
In college, but yeah, no, I had my advanced acting one teacher was like, you know, you could really be like one of the, you know, a comedic actor. Like, you know, you have a knack for this. Like, you could be a stand-up comedian. And he would only put me in like funny, like unserious roles. And then my advanced acting two teacher put me in very serious roles. And he's like, hey, you're not cut out for this. He's like, you probably shouldn't continue with acting after this. I was like, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Like, I thought all of us were already on the same page here that, like, everyone else in this class, yeah, they're all actors. Me, I'm just hanging out.
I'm having a blast.
Like, I'm here yeah. for nothing but my own entertainment.
Yeah. I love theater, dude.
Like, I was like, I thought we were very much on the same page. It's, but then he was like, we got to expand time. Your horizons and make you play all these very serious roles. I was like, okay, like, we can do that, but it's not going to be good.
Play Macbeth.
Like, it's not going to be good.
Charlie's Macbeth.
Made me, they put me in a weird role as, like, some uncle. It was like a pedophile.
Oh, all this weird stuff. That's
Made it very, very serious. It was very uncomfortable.
That's amazing.
But, yeah, overall, good night. Pork Chops Comedy.
Yeah, dude, I might go to one of those shows. That sounds good. I want to know.
And got back in time to watch Vandy Ole Miss before I fell asleep on the couch.
Well, I don't know. Because
it ended at 1:53 a.m.
You should have been back on the game didn't start till.
Yeah, no, I got back before the game started. Yeah, it was nice. I don't think I made it past inning number three, but
yeah, I got to like the, I think the fifth or the sixth, like 1:30 a.m. is when I decided just to be like, I'm done.
Yeah, did not get past inning number three, I think, but. I did wake up disappointed finding out that Vanderbilt won.
I know, dude. They just, man, Ole Miss just could not get the bats going.
And I also woke up pretty happy to see that old Ben Mintz, Mincy from Barstool, confronted the Vandy Whistler at the game last night. Told him he's a disgrace to the SEC.
I loved it. And he did it so politely, too. He wasn't like a really big dick about it or anything. He just was polite about it. And told him he sucked. And it wasn't even the original dude, was it? It was the second guy they have out there.
Yeah, the worst whistler of the team.
Yeah.
I think.
I agree. He's not that good at it.
But, yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into a Tennessee game that hopefully happens today. We'll get a weather update, get into some Danny White comments, and a big recruiting weekend as well. All that and more coming up on the Blitz. So stay with us here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on the Blitz. Again, the weather not looking good for Hoover. There is a drizzle going on right now, according to my free weather app. At 10 a.m., a 100% chance of rain. 11 a.m., an 80% chance of rain.
There's just so much rain behind
Noon,
the rain.
A 60% chance of rain. 1, drops to 30%. And then there's no chance at 2, and then only 40% at 3. So today you might be able to get a game in. I don't know if you get more than a game in.
Yeah, I don't.
But, you know, I was talking with like with Nate and Houston in the lobby, too, as we were changing over shows. We kind of agreed, like, we think they're going to figure out a way to get this Kentucky-Auburn game in.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that was supposed to, you know, that was one of the first round single elimination games. So we feel like at the very least, they're going to find a way to get that through with today.
I mean, that'll probably be that 1-3 slot. That's only,
and I think, like, that's where they can squeeze it in, potentially.
And then the rest of the games can go from.
From there, you know, you don't really know exactly what they're going to have to do, you know, given that you could. you know, you could get it to Thursday and still have a substantial amount of games to play. And it's not like Thursday looks any better. Tomorrow...
100%.
Yeah, tomorrow is a 100% chance of rain. Only 90% at 6 and 7 a.m. At 8 and 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. it says 100%. And that's as far forward as my hourly forecast goes in the app. But I imagine it doesn't get better.
God.
Now, what they'll do from here, not really sure. You could see some conference tournaments, I guess. Because there's rain affecting more than just this. But, you know, you could see, I guess, maybe this tournament get pushed into Monday. Maybe. And then just the affected teams.
Dude, this rainstorm is literally covering the entire, like, right side of the United States.
Yeah.
It's going from the north to the south. Like, it's covering from Houston. Are we gonna get all wet here? To Chicago. Yeah, we'll probably get some rain today.
We getting wet here? Okay.
I believe today. If not, definitely tomorrow.
I mean, the entire state of Alabama, besides, like...
Yeah, tomorrow. That's what it says here.
I guess Mobile is safe. Congratulations, Mobile, Alabama. but all the way through, like, the, you know, the little panhandle of Florida, Destin and Pensacola, all the way from there, north into Alabama, through Montgomery, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Decatur, Huntsville, Florence, Gadsden, Auburn, wherever you are in Alabama, it is raining on you. And again, unless you're just in Mobile or in the other southwest portions of Alabama. So I feel like this thing could get pushed into Monday, but at the same time, I don't know if that'll be enough. Like, giving you one extra day, I don't think that'll be enough given how far behind you are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what the protocols are, and I think it's always like a play it by ear, talk it through kind of thing. But like Kendall Rogers, he mentioned this yesterday. You know, he said his rain continues to be an issue. You know, already being an issue yesterday. Wouldn't be surprised if the SEC tournament ended up having to, you know, move to single elimination.
Oh.
You know, he said weather's going to be a huge issue at the SEC tournament throughout the week. Sounds like South Carolina, Florida will have a pretty lengthy delay before that game starts. Kind of wonder if they'll just go single elimination with the rest of the week's weather not looking great either. So I don't know if they would do that, but I think you could get to a point where you might have to.
That'd probably be the easiest fix, though, you know, because the loser's bracket just has to get dropped, and you just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the easiest solution. I think it makes sense. And honestly, like, single elimination is never – I don't even know if that's, like, a bad idea, period. You know, for a conference like the SEC – it's not like there are many teams that are trying to play their way into the tournament.
Yeah.
That, like, double elimination really helps. Or it's not like some of these other conferences where maybe you're even trying to protect your best teams that, like, might not get a bid otherwise by giving them, you know, basically a second chance. In the SEC, like, I don't really think you need a double elimination tournament. You know, once you get to round three, more often than not,
you're pretty set on what you're sending.
Yeah, I mean, those teams that are there are in the tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could have, again, like an Alabama who beat Georgia yesterday, who's trying to claw their way into the tournament. You know, maybe you know, they find their way into round three, or and they're still not comfortable with their position in the tournament. But double elimination, like, doesn't really do much for them either. At the end of the day, like, I think double elimination at the SEC tournament is just potentially overextending some of your own teams before they get it, you know, in their arms before they get into the postseason, which, you know, isn't really, I think, a goal of the SEC. So single elimination to me is something that, yeah, I love the SEC tournament, and I love the double elimination aspect just for entertainment value.
Gives you more games.
Gives you more games, yeah. Like the tournament feel, the team trying to claw out of the loser's bracket. Like, always fun. I mean, that's always fun, but I don't find double elimination to be necessary.
No.
So, I mean, if you went to single elimination here, you know, let's just take a look at what that could look like then with this bracket. You know, if this thing moves to single elimination, I guess these games the Tennessee is starting out in, or I get like the today's games.
Yeah,
it start the double elimination. Would that make it then?
That'd be like if
the quarterfinals, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Second round, and then you'd have third round. Gosh, I lost my bracket. Where's my bracket? That's unfortunate.
Hold on. I got it.
Here we go. Sorry about that. So, Tennessee, it's going to be Arkansas and Georgia. Arkansas and Alabama, A&M and Florida, Tennessee and Ole Miss, and then either LSU.
Tennessee and Vandy.
Oh yeah, excuse me, Tennessee, Vandy, and then either LSU and Auburn or Kentucky, presumably Auburn. So that, you know, if those games, let's say those take place tomorrow, then the semifinals could take place Friday.
Yeah, and you'd be done by Saturday.
And then the finals could take place Saturday, which I don't think they'd want to do that because, you know, they want to have that Sunday championship game. But
it just depends on if they can get this Auburn game done quick enough to where,
like, if you went single elimination like that, that probably shortens it quicker than they'd like to. But if you only get one game in today, I just don't see how you can reasonably finish this tournament with double elimination, especially with more weather coming tomorrow. What you could do is just no games tomorrow either. Friday quarterfinals, Saturday semifinals, Sunday championship as regularly scheduled.
I think you'd have to at least get two in today to prevent yourself from having to go to a single elimination. Like, get this Alabama-Arkansas game in. Or who? Or I guess it would be the Florida A&M game?
It'd be Alabama-Arkansas. That was supposed to be the first game today.
Okay. I just see that there's a time for the Florida A&M game, and it says to be determined on this SEC page for the Arkansas-Alabama game.
I mean, but LSU, that's what I thought. And then like LSU Auburn or LSU Kentucky, like that's not happening today either.
No, there's no way. Because we're the last scheduled game.
It's not scheduled.
Yeah, we're the last scheduled game for the night, right?
Like Tennessee is supposed to be playing at 9 o'clock today, which
it's not happening.
Hey, by the way, that's not going to happen.
I do not believe that.
If by some miracle,
I mean, would they start a game at 11 o'clock? You think?
Yeah, they would.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, they will.
Would you stay up for the UT game?
I would.
If it started at 1 a.m.
I would. Yeah.
Sick, me too.
Be unfortunate.
But yeah.
But I guess, yeah, sure. Might as well.
What else I got to do?
Sleep, I mean. Yeah. I can do that when I'm dead.
Yeah, it's exactly. God, yes.
I have that fight every night with myself.
I have so much I could do right now.
Why would you go to sleep right now? It's only 1:30. Like,
you're wasting opportunities
to do fun things. And it's just like, yeah, I guess I can sit there and play MLB The Show another game.
I could go two more series.
I fight myself every night.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to sleep until I reach the point of exhaustion and then just fall asleep. And she's like, why don't I go to bed just a couple hours earlier and not do that? I don't know.
So I do the same thing. I play Xbox until like 2:30, 3. And then I'm like, I at least got to get two episodes in of a show so I can fall asleep.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to sleep and miss out on life.
It just, yeah.
It's just the ultimate FOMO. I don't know. But, So I guess if you are able to, you know, start these four, get these four games in somehow, which we don't expect to happen, I wouldn't expect Tennessee Vandy until at least like 11 o'clock,
maybe even tomorrow.
But like, yeah,
tomorrow yeah. 11.
It's not happening at all, in my opinion. But you know, if it does, 11 o'clock would be generous. So yeah, I mean, with tomorrow's weather too, though. Because, again, it's not like it's going to get any better. I do believe the best possible solution, again, looking at tomorrow, Thursday during the day, 99% chance of rain, 1 to 2 inches expected, storms containing strong gusty winds and lightning. That is during the day, and then Thursday night, chance of a shower or two during the evening, followed by partly cloudy skies, late chance of rain, 426. It's 40%. So tomorrow it dropped, the chances of rain starts dropping around 7 o'clock. So I guess I feel like you could probably play 3 games tomorrow, maybe more likely like 2, and we think you can only play 1 game today. That would put you substantially behind. So I do think the best solution at this point is to go, you know, figure out how to get this Kentucky Auburn game in, and then drop it down to single elimination and go Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't know if that's something that they would do.
They'd probably start a game tonight at 10 when the chances are just down. I think they get 2 in today. And then maybe. I just think they're going to try to force a second game to start, and then they will just start it and stop it until it's done.
We'll see. Again, like I don't know if the scenario that I laid out is possible or feasible or, you know, something that they would actually do.
I approve.
That's me looking at it here and racking my brain. I think that that's probably the best solution.
If you want to be done by Sunday, you there's really no other option unless you're just...
Because I don't think, like, Tennessee or, you know, some of these other teams want to play Monday when you have a chance of turning around and playing in a regional Friday.
You don't want to extend, yeah, anything. You don't have to.
Which, again, like, they could also, the NCAA, you know, the could start some regionals Saturday with conference tournaments going to Monday. But, again, we'll see. We'll see. But that's your SEC tournament update, your Hoover update. Hopefully we get some games today. But stay with us here on the Blitz. We'll get into some other things on the other side. Back here on the Blitz.
That's just not right.
Oh, man. The In Between the Breaks podcast, if it ever comes out, will surely be something weird. I was telling him about some of the jokes that I heard last night.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
I just love people that choose violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I love. I just love getting under people's skin, because when people react to things that I just don't seem to be a big deal, and they just lose their ever-loving mind to, and I just think of all the other things that you could be mad about in the world. Just really brightens my day to see some poor guy just losing his mind on me. So I get it.
Ugh. Oh, man. Oh, so yesterday in Hoover, the games we did actually play, you had Bama really just kind of take it to Georgia early and then just coast to the end of that game. Alabama hot right now, coming off that series win against Arkansas. They're trying to find their way into Omaha, same as last year, where they had to kind of rally at the end of the year to sneak their way in. Then in game two, you had a really fun one with Florida and South Carolina. A real pitcher's duel. And that one ended up going into extras, which, man, what a performance too on the mound from Brandon Sproat. 8 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. Did not see that coming from him. But it got to the point, you know, bottom of the 10th, there was one out, runners on second and third for Florida. It was after South Carolina tied it up in the top of the 9th, down 1-0. So bottom of the 10th, runners on second and third, one down. A line drive into center field, fielded by South Carolina. We got a play at the plate. To me, I thought he was out.
I also thought he was out.
It was a great throw. The throw clearly beat the runner. You know, it was a tough tag, I guess. You know, the tag probably could have been better. He could have done a better job.
It was a perfect throw, man. I mean, that's what you dream of as an outfielder, to catch that ball on the run towards the plate. A little hop, skip, and a hummer right down the seam, man. I mean, it was a strike.
Which, I mean, he did drop it.
But I thought he had the tag.
I guess
half a second to 2 seconds, man.
You gotta also, if you're the catcher,
two hands on the
ball. Yeah, you gotta have a hand on the ball. Yeah. Like you have to protect that ball better. But I thought that there might have been enough time in between the tag and the drop.
I thought after the review they would just call him out.
I think they had to keep the call on the field at that point. But
you hate it for the catcher because
you
know
hate it for the catcher, especially when that was a backup catcher that had to come in.
Yeah, I hate that for him.
Either way, though, a great throw and an unfortunate ending.
It was beautiful.
And South Carolina, their season is over. And then you had the late game. I don't know. Again, I can't honestly tell you a whole lot about it because it ended at 1:53, and or maybe like 2:53.
Yeah, it was past two.
Either way, I was not awake for it. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I much about that game. I can tell you that Dominic Keegan was 2-for-3 with an RBI and was the performer of the game, according to the SEC Twitter. And then Vandy won 3-1 in a game that I imagine was not that interesting.
No, it was – Ole Miss just didn't really show
the
up.
The offense was not there. Pretty big for Vanderbilt to, you know, be able to get that win without having to throw McIlvain either.
Bradfield made a couple good catches in the outfield.
I did
too.
See Bradfield have an incredible diving catch in right center.
Yeah, if that lands, I feel like that's a pretty good boost for Ole Miss there. But he lays out for it and makes a great catch. And then Ole Miss guy did the same thing and dropped his. So, like a couple innings later. Other than that, yeah, it was not that interesting game. Like I said, I turned it off like 1:25 is when I kind of rolled over for bed.
But and then obviously we didn't get the late game in. So Tennessee plays Vanderbilt today, which, again, whenever that game happens. A team that you beat three times, a team that you swept, a team that's probably, you know, hungry, I guess, to get back at you after you went into their place, swept them, embarrassed them that one game too, and they couldn't find any balls in the lights. You know, you won all three of those games. That was probably the best your pitching looked the entire year. 6-2, 5-2, 5-0. Burns, Dolander, and then especially Beam on Sunday. They were all, lights out in that series. Like, if you could take the performance that you got in that series from your pitching and apply it to the rest of the season, Tennessee would win the College World Series. Tennessee would not drop a game along the way, and they would probably win it in the most dominant fashion in college baseball history, because that series really was in some incredible pitching.
It was beautiful. They couldn't touch anything we threw. It was.
Don't know who's going to pitch tonight. I
don't think anybody.
I don't think anybody. I don't know who's going to pitch whenever this game happens.
You think we just stick to our rotation and just try to keep it as in flow as possible? Or you think we throw our midweek guy just to start and then go from there?
I mean, if this thing moves to single elimination, which is a possibility, then you just go 1-2-3.
That's what I
mean. You know, Burns, Dolander, and...
Is that how you think we're going into it?
Not in that order, necessarily.
But
I
just
don't know,
those three?
I don't know which order you would throw them in, because, you know, you're, it's based on, I guess, how they're feeling after throwing the previous weekend / how you want to set it up for your regionals. But I still, Beam, Burns, Dolander, with maybe Tidwell coming out of the pen. I would like to have Tidwell, honestly, be one of your starters. I really would. I still think that he is one of the guys that gives you the best chance to win. But at the same time, if you're going to have to, if you're bringing one of those guys out of the pen, presumably, you know, the fourth guy is going to be an option out of the bullpen. Tidwell was proven to be the most comfortable in that position. You know, Burns did not look comfortable, immediately gave up a run, didn't get through an inning. Beam kind of got rocked coming out of the pen as well.
Did you hear Vitello do his interview on the, just kind of, I guess, in between breaks when they were covering the field and such? They asked him about that and his rotation, and he was talking about how Dolander and Tidwell have both had times throughout the season where they've just kind of had a lot of rest. You know, Dolander's injury and then Tidwell's beginning of the season, so he's had a lot more rest. And he said, I think starting in the Georgia series, that he purposely was giving Burns time to rest, just like the other guys, to kind of relax his arm and just not throw. And so he said the best thing he could do was just get him back out to throwing again and get these guys
in motion. That was the plan. Was Burns got the week off, and then the following week, Beam got the week off.
Okay, yeah.
They both got the week off in the same weekend, because that was also when Ben Joyce started.
Sunday.
Again, like, they wanted to get that rest, but both of those guys still needed to get their work in, obviously, just on their scheduled days. So that's why they got the appearance out of the pen, and neither of them looked comfortable. Which, yes, you got them rest, but I think also, you know, Tony Vitello did kind of want to see how either of those guys react to different situations, and that was a chance to test that out by putting them, you know, in the bullpen. And when we've seen Dolander and when we've seen Tidwell come out of the pen, both of those guys look comfortable. I mean, you saw Tidwell, was it Saturday?
Yes.
No, it was Friday. He came in for Chase Burns and went four scoreless out of the bullpen, struck out five, didn't give up a base runner, ended up getting the win. So I guess when you look at it that way, maybe it does make sense to have Tidwell be the odd man out, just because, again, I think he's the guy that you can trust most coming out of the pen. Because, you know,
like
sometimes
on Saturday,
sometimes for starters, it is difficult to come out of the bullpen. You know, it isn't just something that you can do. Because when you're a starting pitcher, you know exactly when you're going to get ready. You know, you don't have to just, hey, get hot. Some guys just don't have the arm that can just snap, get hot.
Yeah.
You know, some guys do. You know, I've seen guys that sit in the bullpen and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a walk and a hit by pitch and you get a mound, you know, you basically get one at bat and a mound visit to get hot, and they can do it. You know, throw a couple times, do a couple stretches, and then, you know, five real pitches and you're ready to go. You know, that's when I was pitching in high school, not a very good example here just because I was some random Joe Schmo in high school, but
yeah,
you know, like for me, I was comfortable
just going out,
getting hot with, like, in 2 minutes. Like, I could go from sitting to pitching in 2 minutes and be comfortable. My arm would be fine. One of my friends, he went on to pitch at Samford, also on the same team. He needed his full hour before the game as a starting pitcher to go through his routine, to do his, you know, like, pyelometrics, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're just...
And that's just a whole bunch of things going into that. I mean, that's mindset.
There are guys that need that because, you know, when you're a starting pitcher, you have hours to prepare for a game. You start with some long toss and you don't start with it, but, you know, you start with some bands. You stretch with the bands. Maybe you throw a ball, like a medicine ball, or up and down a little bit, or a different weighted ball. And then maybe, you know, you
just get those muscle fibers, some weird small arm tendon stuff, fibers.
And then
going.
You long toss. And then you throw a couple flat grounds. And then you get on the mound. And then you do some run and jump thing. And then you finally pitch in. And then, you know, there's an entire routine that you go through that you repeat, a process every time. It's smooth. You know, that's why you even see some starting pitchers, if there's just a delay to the start, you get wildly thrown off because it's so specific.
Or even when, like, even a rain delay in the middle of your start.
And then there's just some guys that, hey, whatever, I can just pitch. Pitching's pitching. And, you know, it's not like a knock on those guys that have to go through their routine. And I'm not even proclaiming necessarily that that's Burns or Beam. But, yeah, to imagine that, you know, both of those guys did look uncomfortable, that maybe there is just something to it that they need that routine. Yeah. Like, they need to be, you know, that's just where they're more comfortable, is in that starting spot, especially when they've started every single weekend. So it'll be interesting. You know, the pitching, again, has not been announced for Tennessee. We'll see. I'm sure Tony Vitello is also just a wait and see with the weather. You know, that the weather, obviously, and then the reaction based off the weather will help decide who the starting pitcher will be. But right now we don't know, and that, to me, is probably the most interesting thing to track at this point with Tennessee in this weekend, is just how are they going to manage the pitchers in Hoover. But Gonna catch a break here, wrap up hour one on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Sweet story in Major League Baseball last night. Yankees backup catcher. Yeah, I know it's hard to imagine Sweet and Yankees together at the same time, but their backup catcher, Jose Trevino. Yankees having, you know, dealing with some injuries right now, so some guys are playing for them that normally aren't. And last night, Trevino, who is a Texas native, grew up less than an hour from, you know, where that unfortunate shooting took place yesterday. So, you know, already an emotional day for him. And then also, it was his late father's birthday. So a lot going on for him yesterday. And he had a walk-off for the Yankees. A little walk-off to beat the Orioles. And was emotional after. Said, you know, happy birthday, Dad. Love and miss you. This one's for you.
I love how often this thing happens in sports.
Was crying in the post game interview. Just a cool night for him.
Like a player going in the NBA for like 50 on their mom's birthday or like anniversary of their death or stuff like that. Love that. Cool. It happens and it's beautiful.
Cool story there. You know, yeah. Sports sometimes just are awesome. Well, I mean, they're awesome all the time, but
sometimes they bring you a little heart tug.
Sometimes they're way more awesome than normal. You know, and that's one of those things that I thought was cool. You know, on a day that's definitely a little sad for America, a nice little sweet story as well. Wrapping up hour one here, though, some other just quick things to hit on. Or actually, we'll get to that in the opening drive. I'll go ahead and just let you know about our friends in Memphis. Over at Linderman Sports Medicine. If you are listening on the website live stream, well, that live stream is powered by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine. Again, down in Memphis, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you're not active right now because of discomfort or pain that is limiting any of your activities, then check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life without surgery. So if you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym, or you know, just walk in the park, have a healthier lifestyle. You know, maybe you just got a little something bothering you. Whatever it might be, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com, LENDERMON, SportsMedicine.com. The NHL playoffs rolling around along.
That's some good playoff right there.
The NHL, yeah, everyone's complaining about the NBA playoffs because it's blowouts boring. And it's been boring, which it has. You know, if my own team wasn't in it, I would agree. Playoffs pretty boring.
Your series has been the worst. But yeah, no, I get it.
I don't know how a 2-2 series could possibly be as boring as the Heat Celtics have been.
That's the craziest thing, dude. It's not even like one team's just running off with every game.
It doesn't make any sense.
Someone's not showing
but
up.
For those of you that have been upset with the NBA playoffs, I encourage you to check out the NHL playoffs. Because those have been a blast and a half. Last night you had two more games. A couple game fours. The battle for Alberta. Still as unhinged as ever.
God, that is
the best.
Yeah, it has been the
kind
best.
Kind of hockey when it's unhinged. Edmonton won last night 5-3. Taking a 3-1 lead in that series. I have no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind that somehow Calgary is going to win that series.
No way.
But
did you see that shot last night Mike Smith decided to let go through? I laughed for like so long. I just kept rewatching it.
Mike Smith is a national treasure.
He should go down in history.
Because sometimes he makes some pretty impressive saves.
These past two games he's been amazing except for this.
And then all of a sudden someone shoots from
beyond half court.
Yeah, outside Oh, my volume's on.
They shot from the defensive zone.
This rarely, if not ever, happens in hockey, by the way. It should never happen, but... God.
I saw people tweeting out the hot dog, if you haven't... Or I think you should leave meme with the hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
We're all trying to find out who did this. Just Mike Smith right now. Unbelievable.
The best, like, best part is him like trying to blame someone else on the ice.
His own blue line.
I know, dude.
And I love that he's just, who did that?
It wasn't how'd even across. He didn't even slice it across. It was in the air in a line drive.
Yeah.
Upper 90s.
Also an impressive shot.
Incredible. But dude, his surprise
and
that
it
went
tied
through.
It up at 3-3, which they, like, again, Oilers went on to win 5-3, so like it didn't end
up
costing
them.
It was
an open net.
But could you imagine being at a playoff game and you see your goalie allow someone to score from the other side of the ice? That's that never, again, like, if you don't know hockey, like, that's cool, but
it
just
never.
In the picture, you have net, you have a bunch of ice, and you have a blue line.
Yeah.
All the ice in front of that blue line, that is the offensive zone. That is where people usually shoot from. Then you have the neutral zone, which is the area between the blue line that's, you know, separates that area of the ice, and then the blue line that separates the other zone, that's the other team's offensive zone, and your defensive zone.
It's in between both benches.
The area in between, yeah, the both benches is the neutral zone. This guy shot from not the his own offensive zone, and then the next step back, not the neutral zone, but he shot from basically the starting point of the other zone.
Yeah.
So his defensive zone.
His own
and defensive. And the other team's offensive zone. That never happens, especially in the playoffs. So that was awesome.
It was incredible.
Connor McDavid has been the most incredible player to watch this postseason. He's out. I mean,
he wants the cup.
He has 25 points in 12 games in the playoffs. I mean, he's been better than Gretzky, better than Lemieux.
I mean, he's been the best. I know every time he touches the puck, something good happens for Edmonton.
And then your other game, Rangers Hurricanes. Rangers won 4-1, tied that series up at two games apiece. Hurricanes still can't figure out how to win at home. Or, I mean, on the road, and
6-0 at home, 5-0 or 0-5 on the road.
Not only that, at home their goal differential +15. They're averaging 1.17 goals allowed, and they're 6-0 on the road, 0-5, allowing 4.2 goals and a -13 goal differential. Just incredible how different that's been.
I love the hockey player.
And that series has some hatred in it too, but. Hour one done, hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.